It is well with me.
Thank you that we can say it is well. It is well in the face of all adversity, in a world full of darkness. It is well with me. Because you are the light of our life.
Yes, you are.
You are our joy and our peace. You are our strength, our provider, our protection. It is so well, so good. In Christ Jesus. And we thank you for it. Thank you for this place that we have in you, Father. Help us to be more conscious of who we are in you, in Jesus Christ, even more than who we are according to the flesh in this world. We thank you that we see ourselves more and more in you, completely covered, protected, surrounded with you, God. And in your presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank him for it. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, we rejoice in you. We worship you. We praise you and thank you for being so good to us, God. Thank you for helping us. Thank you. Thank you for loving us like you do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, say with me, say, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn around, greet some folks around you this morning. Welcome them into the house. Spread the love around. Praise you, praise you, praise you. That's all right now. It's good. Glory and honor belongs to him forever and ever and ever. Can you say amen? Praise God. Now, we're in a series here. We've been in it now for some time on Sunday morning on the subject of honor. And honor is an extremely important subject. And, you know, we want to do it justice. We don't want to just skim over a little bit of it. We want to hit it hard. And really fill ourselves up on along the lines of being honorable people, what honor looks like and how honorable people behave and so forth, what they do, what they don't do. You know, we need to hear it enough where it's really getting down on the inside of us so that it is a part of us. I think sometimes, you know, folks will hear a message and think they got it, and then, you know, as soon as they leave the church, it isn't long before they forget about it. In fact, a lot of folks, you ask me, say, how was church today? Oh, it was great. Well, what did they minister on? Not really sure. But I know it was good. I know that. Praise the Lord. It felt good. It felt good at the time. So, but, you know, and of course, we don't retain everything with our heads. You know, our hearts are absorbing things. And I remember when I went to Bible school, you know, you had so much coming at you, so much revelation from God coming as the instructors were all ministering by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I mean, I'm writing as fast as I can, trying to keep up with everything, you know. And I mean, God, after a while, I couldn't read my own handwriting. You know, you're just going so fast, wore your hand out, you know. But, yet at the same time, you know, years would go by and I'd get into a situation in life and oops, there it is. All of a sudden, the answer comes up. That thing that I heard years back, it comes up and it's there to help me and navigate me through, you know, this tough time maybe that I'm going through or whatever. You know, God's wisdom, God's knowledge is spiritual. It's not just intellectual. It comes by the Holy Spirit to our spirit. So God is speaking things to us, and so we're absorbing things, you know, that sometimes our minds aren't able to retain very well, but we're getting it down on the inside of us. And yet, of course, the more that we hear it and the more we get our minds renewed to it, the more easy it will be to yield to that wisdom that God is imparting to the inside of us, to our spirits. Amen? So I say all that to say we need to hear it over and over and over again and try to look at various different subjects from different angles so we really get a good understanding of it. And so that's what we're doing here with this subject of honor. And last week we were talking about honoring our employer. And somebody here might be in business for themselves. Somebody else might be retired, or you know, different people are coming from different places. And so, but I just want you to know, no matter where you're coming from, what we're hearing about today, because I'm going to continue along these lines, just pick up where we left off last time, in talking about honoring employees, honoring our boss, because the principles apply to every area of life. So this word is good for everybody, even if you currently are not employed or are self-employed or retired or any one of those things. Let's go in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. This is where we were last time. I just want to go to this scripture as a quick review. Of course, you could always go online to our media page and re-listen to these things there. You can download what's there or just stream it and listen to it. Or you can go to our bookstore, product store that's out there in the foyer. And you can order the CDs there of the services to play in your car or wherever else you would listen to these things. And that's what's so great about the time you and I are living in. There's really no excuse for not getting our minds thoroughly renewed to the Word of God. There's no reason why we can't get our minds in line with God's way of thinking. When we have His Word, when we have Holy Spirit-inspired preaching like we do, and then we've got technology where all these things are being recorded. And we can re-listen to it. Because, you know, many times, let me just get a drink of water and put an end to this right now. That should have done it. You know, many times we're listening to teaching, but when you go back and listen to it again, there's a lot there you'll find many times that you didn't even hear the first time. And you'll think, where was I? I know I was in that service. But it's amazing how that works. You know, we got a television broadcast. And I encourage you, if you don't already, you should record it. If you get Channel 21, it's a local station here. I encourage you to record it. It's on Channel 21 at 11:30, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. We're on some other channels as well. But those are the main channel. That's the main channel, main time that we're on here locally. So I encourage you to set your recorder and record those services, because those broadcasts, because you'll listen to it on television and you'll hear things you're not hearing while you're here in the service. And it's amazing because there's a special TV anointing that comes on the broadcast too. You know, it's like God has a special anointing for you this morning right here. And so He'll anoint me, He'll anoint this service, He'll anoint you in this place this morning to minister specific things to you. But then when it's broadcasted on TV, I'll recognize there's another anointing on that preacher. Of course, it's me, but it's a different, it's an anointing for the television television viewers. So it's just an amazing thing. So I encourage you, if you want both anointings, record it and you can listen to it. Praise the Lord. And then you'll really get these things in your heart, because, you know, I don't just minister whatever I feel like ministering. You know, I go to God and I ask Him and I pray about it, and I want to be led by the Spirit of God in what to minister, because I want what would be a word in season for us. What is it that the Lord is saying that we need to hear right now? And so I believe that's what this is. So to go back and listen to it again is wise, because you can hear a lot of different things, but this is the word in season for you right now. Right now. And so God's saying, get this. You want to get a hold of this. You want to get good understanding of this right now. All right? So fill yourself up on it and avail yourself to technology to get these truths in you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And people think it's important to honor your employee. Your employer. Thank you. How many think it's important to honor your employer? Yeah. It is, you know, and like we talked about last time, we will not get any higher than our honor. To the degree that we esteem others will be to the degree that we'll be esteemed in life. If we walk around despising other people, then what we sow, we're going to reap. We'll end up finding ourselves being despised. And a lot of people don't understand why they're being despised. Well, it could be because maybe you're despising others. So we want to be honorable people, esteem others, not walk around treating people wrong, treating people with contempt. And I believe that we will not prosper above our honor. We will prosper in accordance with how we honor others, especially an employer, those that are over us in the area of business. If we don't honor our employer, from where the vessel whom God is using, one of the vessels God's using to bring finances into our life to help prosper us, then it's going to hinder us from being able to prosper. So we want to honor our employer, and what's that going to do? That's going to cause us to be able to prosper. It'll clear the path for God to be able to prosper us in life. And the Bible says some very strong things about this over here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Actually, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation again in verse 5, Ephesians 6, 5. It says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect. Now again, slaves can also be translated bond servants. And it's not talking about slavery, but it is actually the word bondservant, the word slave there in the Greek again means one who gives himself up to another's will. So he's not being forced to do something. He's giving himself up to another's will, devoted to another, to the disregard of one's own interests. A servant, an attendant. So he's concerned about someone else. And so, slaves, obey your earthly masters. So we can say it this way, employees, obey your earthly employers. Obey your earthly employers with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time. Not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm. We can just stop right there. As slaves of Christ. Did Jesus Christ ever come take a whip and force you to do anything? Has he ever forced you to do anything? No. See, this is you giving your will to the will of Christ, the will of God, okay? So in the same way that we're slaves of Christ, freely giving our will to him, subjecting ourselves to his will, his desires for our life, not putting our will above his will, the Bible says that's the same way we're to treat our employer, our earthly masters. Same exact way. Because why? Because we're to be doing it as unto the Lord. Again, one of the ways that we show honor and respect for God is by showing honor and respect towards others. A lot of times people say, oh yeah, You know, I love God, I love the Lord, and then they disregard church. They disregard, well, yeah, you know, all these churches are full of hypocrites, and all they think about is money, and these pastors, and yang. But I love the Lord. No, honey, you don't. You don't. Because you wouldn't talk that way about his church. You wouldn't talk that way about his leaders, see? So he says, if you love God, then you're going to love your brothers. You're going to love your sisters. In fact, 1 John goes on to say very boldly that if you despise your brother or your sister, then you don't love the Lord, but you hate the Lord. You hate the Lord. It's hatred towards God. You can't say, I hate my brother, but I love the Lord. I hate my brother who's been created in the image and likeness of the Lord. But I love the Lord. The Bible says you can't do that. That's walking in deception. That's walking in darkness. And there's a lot of folks that are walking in darkness. So it's very easy to hyper-spiritualize things, you know. To say a bunch of things and act like we love the Lord and things like that. But the acid test of where we're really at with the Lord can be seen in our relationships with others. Even towards those that don't treat you right, which we're going to get into. Just because other people act wrong, that doesn't mean you have to act wrong. You know why you act wrong? Because you're wrong. That's why you act wrong. Simple as that. No, it's because, no. See, we got to judge. If we're going to get this thing fixed, if we're going to walk in truth, and I love truth, I don't want to walk in any kind of deception because Jesus said, you know the truth and the truth will, yeah, it'll make you free. I like freedom. I don't like any bondage in my life whatsoever. And so therefore, I love the truth. I want to know the truth about myself. And if I'm missing it, if I'm believing lies about myself, if I'm deceived in an area, then I know I'm also going to be in bondage in areas. I know I'm going to be in bondage. Well, I don't want to be in bondage, so I don't want to be deceived. So I don't want to sing the song, tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies. That's actually a song in the world that I remember when I was in the world. I don't want you to tell me lies. I don't want to live in deception. There's nothing sweet about it. It leads to bondage. But the truth leads to liberty. Amen. Not just the truth about others, but most importantly, the truth about yourself. That's one thing about finding God. When you find God, you find yourself. When we get in the Word of God, we're not just finding Jesus. When we find Jesus, who is light, who is the truth, then we see in the light the truth about ourselves. And we're able to make the adjustments and put our faith in him in areas where we don't have faith in him, where we've been walking in pride and trusting in ourselves. Now we're able to humble ourselves and trust in him more. And so by getting to know the truth, by getting to know him, man, we're getting to know ourselves. And so when we get to know ourselves according to how we really are, then we can begin to make the corrections that need to be made so that we can walk in how we want to be, which is free. Walk free. How many want to walk completely free? I want to live a life completely free, walking in perfect liberty. So I don't pull away from the light. I just love the light. That's just where I'm at. Anybody with me on that? Do you have a bunch of people who just love the light? So many people pull back from it, trying to hide from it, you know? But I mean, it goes back to Adam and Eve in the beginning. They sinned, and what did they do? They ran and sowed fig leaves and tried to hide themselves. And they're running away trying to hide themselves from God, trying to hide themselves from each other. But, you know, God knows where we are. There's no hiding from him, so why hide from ourselves? Why hide from one another? Why not just come out in the light and let God do what he does? What does he do? He does what he did for Adam and Eve. He clothed them. He put real clothing on them. They had fig leaves. He said, no, I got something much better than that. And he clothed them. And he took care of them. And he provided mercy and grace for them. God will provide an abundance of mercy and grace for us. We can bring our shame to him, and he will immediately clothe us. And then he'll wipe away the shame of the past. He said he'll wipe away the shame of your youth. He'll wipe away all shame and cause you to be honored. Hallelujah. Raise you up. Set you free. You don't have to be afraid to come to God with whatever issues you may have. Let's not cover it up. Let's not try to sow fig leaves. Let's not try to sow religious things and try to cover it up. Let's come to the light having confidence in God that he will cleanse us and cover us. He will cleanse us and cover us from all unrighteousness. So he goes on. He says, as slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Verse 7. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. God's going to reward you. When you do something good, God notices. Even if the employer doesn't notice. See, again, a lot of times folks will do things when the boss is looking. But who really is the boss? Come on. We got a big boss in heaven who's watching us all the time. Not to try to find fault in us, but to try to find something he can reward us over. That's a good renewal of the mind right there. Like when we talk about God watching you. Oh. A lot of times people, oh, God's watching me. You know, when you think, many times people, they go negative. God's watching me like he's looking, he's got a mallet in his hand. And he's watching you. I'm watching you. Go ahead. Make my day. He's just ready to wallop you with the mallet. No, that's not God. God is watching. He's watching over you, looking for an excuse to reward you. See, how do you know that? Well, I give you several scriptures, but there's one over there in the book of Chronicles where it says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those whose hearts are right towards him. Where does it go? The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, searching the hearts that are right towards him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. That he what? That he might wallop you. No. That he might show himself strong on their behalf. God wants to show himself strong on your behalf. He wants to set men, reward you. He wants to do something great for you. God's looking for an excuse to bless you today. Say, sure doesn't feel like it. Well, a lot of folks are more conscious of the devil. Now, the Bible says concerning the devil, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So there is a devil, and he's looking around, finding who he may devour. But notice that. He's seeking whom he may devour, which means he just can't devour whoever he wants to devour whenever he wants to devour. And I've already determined he can't devour me. Why? Because I don't put any trust in the devil. Trusting in the devil is called fear. I don't fear. I don't worry. I'm not going to be anxious about my life. I'm going to stay over here in faith, and I'm going to trust God. I'm going to keep my faith in the Lord Jesus, keep my faith in God's word, and know that God is watching over his word to perform it in my life. He's looking to show himself strong on my behalf. He's just looking for an excuse to reward me. He said, if you even give but a cup of cold water to someone who's a disciple of mine, he said, you will by no means lose your reward. And I think if we'd get into faith about that, stop being in fear about the roaring lion who's trying to devour us, thinking that's God trying to devour us. God's looking for an excuse to bite into us and destroy us. If we'll get out of the fear, get over the faith, man, we'll begin to see more of God's good hand upon our life. God rewarding us for all the good things that we've done. But isn't it good to know? None of it goes unnoticed. Man might notice it, might not notice it. People might overlook it. But God's watching. God's watching. So let's go the extra mile. This should encourage us to want to go the extra mile. When they say, Sweep the floor. Say, well, can I mop it too? You know? Clean the table. Well, can I set the table? Can I reset it? You know, I want to go the extra mile. Want to go the extra mile. Why? Because the Lord's watching, and He's my boss. He's my real employer. I'm doing everything as unto Him. And I know if He sees that I'm doing a good job, He'll give me a raise. He'll give me a raise. He'll lift me up. He'll reward me. He'll increase me. He'll bless me. He'll cause me to reap what I'm sowing. He's watching over these things to make it happen. That gets me excited. Hallelujah. So he says, do these things as unto the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's work with enthusiasm. You know, the day goes fast when you're having fun. Huh? Time flies when you're having fun. So guess what? If the day is dragging, the week is dragging, when is Friday going to get here? You're in the flesh. You're not in the spirit. You're not in faith. You're not working as unto the Lord. You're just working as unto a paycheck. That's all. And you just want to get out of there. And that just makes it miserable. You might as well enjoy where you are on the way to where you're going. Huh? Let's not always just be looking to go somewhere. Let's enjoy where we are. This is a great moment right now. Hallelujah. Let's enjoy the moment. Let's enjoy our jobs. And you'll watch, when you do, time flies when you're having fun. Things go a lot easier when we go into it enthusiastically. When we go into it with a positive attitude, we get excited about what we're doing. Praise God. We're going to help humanity today. I'm going to help my employer today. We're going to help some people today. We're going to build some things today. We're going to fix some stuff for some people today. We're going to do stuff. Because what we're doing is helping humanity. It's being a blessing. Right? So get excited about it. I got news for you. I don't know if I said this or not last time. I don't think I did. But when you get to heaven, you're not going to be in a hammock every day. A lot of people think heaven is just sitting in a hammock and angels just fanning them. Hand me my grapes. I'm retired for eternity. No, there's jobs to do. There's work to be done. Huh? God's got a government. He's got a kingdom, and it is expanding, and there's people with places to go and people to see. There's things to be done. There's things to be built. Even now, there's a mansion being prepared for you in heaven. It's being built. There's things being fashioned and structured. And you know, a lot of times I think people get the idea of heaven that it's like, you know, I dream of genie. Now, I do dream of genie, but... but... I'm talking about the show. I really do. But... you know, she blinks and boom, there it is, you know. They just think when they get to heaven, they blink and there it is. No, there's work to be done in heaven. There's work to be done in heaven. But thank God there's no devil there hindering us. And there aren't thorns that are going to prick us, right? And we're not going to have to sweat in our labor. But remember, when God created earth, He created after the pattern of heaven, because that was His will from the beginning, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then He put Adam and Eve in the garden to till the ground. They had to work that ground. They had to work that garden. All right? They had work to do. So there was work to be done, and there'll be work to do in heaven. Didn't Jesus say, if you're faithful with the little stuff here on the earth, I'll make you ruler over much on the other side? Huh? Didn't He say, I'll make you ruler? This is things to rule over. Bible says, don't you know the saints will judge angels? I mean, there's angels to be judged. There's things happening, things going on. And really what we're doing here is preparing us for over there. Being faithful here with our jobs will cause us to be given a higher place of responsibility over on the other side. We don't want to get to heaven and have regrets concerning these things. Thank God Jesus will wipe away every tear. But I don't want to go in there sobbing and weeping. Because I didn't do what He told me to do. I just wasted my time down here on the earth and wasn't faithful so that He couldn't give me more in heaven. I couldn't do all that He wanted me to do. Can you say amen? All right, so let's be faithful. Let's be faithful. Let's be enthusiastic. Let's get excited. Praise God. Let's enjoy our life. Let's work hard. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, it says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, or we can say employers, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. So again, notice this. He's telling us to have a really good attitude towards our employer, those that are over us. And you know, even if you wanted to look at it as a, you know, this is slavery. This is talking about slavery. Well, look at the attitude though. You know, even as a slave, if you showed up to work and maybe you were forced to be there and you don't get a paycheck and all these kind of things, notice, really, oppression isn't so much what's going on around you, it's what's going on in you. Again, you can have a lot of oppressive, ugly, angry people around you and have some ugly circumstances around you, but what's going on in you? Are you miserable? Do you have to be miserable on the inside? Well, if you think you do, all you got to do is look at Paul the Apostle who wrote this. Here's a man who was beaten, had every kind of wicked thing happen. He was lied about. He was cheated. I mean, abused in so many terrible ways. Was thrown into prison more than one time. And one time after being severely beaten, thrown into a dungeon. Locked up inside there, chained in there. The Bible says at midnight, at their darkest hour, they begin to pray and give thanks to God. And they started having themselves a praise attack. They began to sing and praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. See, they weren't focused on the chains. They weren't focused on their natural conditions. They were focused on their spiritual condition. And they knew that somebody was watching them. Come on. They knew they had somebody watching over them. They knew they had someone that was going to reward them, that was going to protect them, someone that was going to bring them through this thing. And they were just thanking and praising God time and time again, being in these horrific conditions, praising, thanking God, running his race with joy. He said, I have run my race with joy, and I have finished it. That was Paul's testimony at the end of his life. He ran his race with joy. What's your excuse? See, we don't have an excuse. We can't ever get to heaven and start complaining and look over at Paul the Apostle sitting there by the Lord and say, well, they cheated me at my wages, and then they lied about me, and I was just doing what you told me to do, and then they all started picking on me. And that's why I had a fit, and that's why I quit, and that's why I killed the cat. That's why I did. I had to do it. I was frustrated, Lord. You just don't know, Lord. And then you look over at Paul. Talking about the apostle. Yeah, I wouldn't know what that's like. How many people know that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear any evil? Come on. We can have our minds on higher things. And the joy of our circumstances is our strength. No, the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's our strength. His joy is our strength. If you lose the joy, you lose your strength. And you fall apart. But if you have the joy of the Lord, no matter what's falling apart around you, You've got strength. You got strength enough to overcome and to prevail through your circumstances. So we got to keep ourselves happy. I said we got to keep ourselves happy. How do you keep yourself happy? Keep your mind on happy thoughts. Keep your mind on happy thoughts. What are some happy thoughts? Jesus. Jesus is a happy thought. Huh? Jesus is watching over me. If God be for me, who can be against me? Huh? God is for me. God is with me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with me. He's with me. Glory to God. He comforts me. I always triumph. I always win. That's what he said. We're going to go over. We're not going under. And even if we did go under, praise God, we'd be able to breathe. We're not drowning. Somehow, some way, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. So you see, a lot of people, they make a big deal about the natural and the and the circumstances rather than focusing on the condition of their heart. If you'd focus on the condition of your heart, if people would primarily judge themselves rather than judging their employer, judging their government, judging everyone else, judging all the people around them, judging their circumstances, if people would judge themselves of anything that is not of faith and keep themselves in faith, then guess what's going to happen? God will use their faith to make all these outward crooked places straight. He will make the crooked places straight. He will fix the conditions. He will change the circumstances. The big thing is, what's the condition of our heart? That's our responsibility. Truly, it's not my job to change my outward condition. It's my job to make sure that my heart is right with God. That's my job, 24/7. That's my focus. It's not to fix people. It's not to make everybody else act right. Huh? Not about changing this, my heart. It's all about being led by the Spirit of God, keeping my heart right with God, having an honorable, upright, faithful heart to the Lord. And if I got that right, it doesn't matter what's going on wrong around me. God will take care of that. God will take care of that. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these other things. All these other things will be added unto you. All these other things will be corrected. All these other things will be fixed. God will get all the other things right. Now, most folks got it backwards. Their focus is on changing their circumstances, changing where they live. I can't stand where I'm living. Well, prison's not very good either. Dungeons aren't nice either. But you know what's interesting? Paul was in the dungeon, but the dungeon wasn't in him. And he was in that dungeon only in the flesh, but in his heart he was in Christ. He was in heaven. He was absolutely in heaven. And he was enjoying God. And one time he was enjoying God so much while he was singing and praising him that the prison doors opened up and all the chains fell off. What an example. Come on. It was an extreme example because it was extreme faith. I've never seen anything like that. A place shake and doors open up and chains fall off. I never seen anything like that. Well, God's saying, I never seen faith like that from you. See, we need to have hearts full of faith, trusting in him that we can praise him at midnight, praise him in the darkest hour of our life. And when we do, praise God to the degree that we're being extreme for Jesus. An extreme Jesus freak. To the degree that we're being extreme for him by faith will be to the degree that we'll see some extreme deliverances and some extreme fast changes in our life. But we have to admit, you know, a lot of times we're dragging along. Lord, I'm going to obey you. I know I should. And I will. I will. Lord, where's the answer? Come on, Jesus, get it to me, Jesus. And angels are coming with their answer. I'm coming to you. I got the answer. Lord, it's been years. I know. And really, there really is truth to that. You go to the book of Daniel. Daniel was praying, and he set his heart for some answers from God. And he wasn't going to eat anything pleasant until he got his answer. He was going to stay in prayer. I'm not coming out of here until I get my hand. I mean, so committed. He was fervent about it. And the moment he set his heart to pray, an angel was released with his answer. And the angel had a fight through these demonic principalities and powers that were standing against the angel. But the angel persevered, broke through. Michael, the archangel, got in there and helped him. They broke through. And after 21 days, they got the answer that Brother Daniel was looking for. He got the answer. But you see, the more we yield to the fear, the more we empower the enemy to stand in the way of what God has for us. And so many times, we believe or receive, angels release, and then we doubt. Oh, God, I can't stand this. And the devils jump up. You know, it's like calling on the devil. We start whining, we start complaining, we start murmuring. What are we doing? We're empowering the devil to slow things down, hinder things. They're coming because you believe you received it. But all the wavering, all the doubting is empowering the enemy. We have to understand that. The Bible says in Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, all you his angels who excel in strength, heeding the voice of his word." As we're the one that gives voice to God's word. When we give voice to God's word, it causes the angels to heed it and excel in strength. And so the more we're speaking the word and we're standing in faith, the more not only are we keeping ourselves strong, but we're strengthening angels. See, angels need to be strengthened? According to the scriptures, they do. See, a lot of people have ideas about angels and heaven and all these things that is just make-believe. It's just stuff that they've fabricated in their mind and they've just settled for it like it's facts. It's the facts. It's the truth. But the truth is the word. And the word tells us about these things. And so we can strengthen angels. Well, demons are fallen angels. Where do they get their strength from? They get their strength through our doubt, our unbelief, and our living contrary to God. You can go to the book of Revelation. The Bible says, because of the wickedness of men increasing on the earth, that this bottomless pit is going to be opened up and more demons are going to be released to afflict mankind. So more demons are being released, unloosed, and freed to create havoc in people's lives because of people's lifestyles, because of people's behavior. People's behavior, you get enough people together and pits are being opened up. And things are coming on the earth right now that weren't here 10, 20 years ago. There's things walking around America right now in the spirit realm. They were not here 20 years ago. They were in the pit. They were locked up. But man keeps yielding. He keeps yielding and being seduced by Satan. And so more and more demons are being released, which is just making things harder for us in the natural. So we need to stay over in faith. Keep our eyes on God, and as we show forth extreme faith, it just clears the airspace around us and allows the angels to be strengthened to come in there and get the job done quicker than we've seen things getting done in the past. I'm all about seeing results faster. How about you? Don't you want to see things faster? I believe God just gave us utterance this morning. Help us. Just gave us some understanding this morning on how we can see things happen quicker and what things are going on around us. There are spiritual laws. There are spiritual things happening. It isn't just praying to God, and God knows everything, and if he wants it to happen, it'll happen. If it be his will, it's going to happen. It's this whole religious nonsense. We've got to understand angels, demons, our authority in Christ Jesus, faith, how important it is that we stay in faith and be honorable people. So important to walk in these things. Again, putting the light on ourselves, judging ourselves. And if we'll judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. And those crooked places, God will make straight. You believe he'll straighten it out for you? He'll straighten it out. He wants to straighten it out. Praise God, let him do it. Faith lets him do it. Faith says, I'm getting out of the way. I'm getting out of the way. I'm letting God take hold of this situation. God can fix it. If I'll make sure my heart's right, God will fix it. Praise God. So 1 Timothy 6:1, we could say, let as many as are employees under hire count their employers or bosses worthy of all honor. Worthy of all honor. And again, when we're talking about going to work, we're not It's talking about going begrudgingly. And I have to go to work for a paycheck. No, we're going willingly. We're going happily because we get to serve Jesus. And he sees what we're doing. And if you're worth more than what your employer's currently paying you, I got good news for you. God's going to make sure you get what you're supposed to get. And it might not come through your employer. It might come another way. Come on, I watched this. The Lord had me 2 years after graduating Bible school and going into ministry. He said, now 2 years, just serve me. And he had me withdraw from secular work and just trust in him. Now, you don't do this unless you directly heard from God to do exactly what I did. And I did what he said. My whole job was just to seek him and get to know him for 2 years, just focus on him and work in a youth ministry out there in Oklahoma. That's what I was supposed to do. And there was no, where's the money coming from? Trust me. That was all God told me to do. Trust me. And so, praise God, I watched for 2 years as God faithfully put money in my pocket, as God faithfully provided for me and met every one of my needs. Every one of my needs. He met every single one of them. Praise God. Never lacked a thing. It always showed up. There were times, like I shared last time, it was a little fearful a few times, and you had a little bit of a panic attack. But the Lord always showed up, and he proved himself. He proved himself faithful on my behalf. He showed himself strong on my behalf. I just had to keep myself in peace, keep myself in obedience to him. So it isn't just being obedient, but it's, he said, if you're willing and obedient. He says this over in Isaiah. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So your boss might see your obedience. Man, they always show up on time. Man, they're here, they do their job. The boss sees your obedience. God doesn't just see your obedience. He sees your willingness. And the willingness is the want to. He wants you to want to do what you're doing. He doesn't want you to be being forced off into it in chains. And like I said, even Paul the Apostle, when he was in chains, he wasn't griping and complaining about it. Man, he just did it as under the Lord. I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus. I'm a slave of the Lord Jesus. Right? And what was the result? Lord provided for him, and he was fruitful in prison. For years, there were times he was in prison for years, and he was fruitful. That's where a lot of the New Testament comes from. He wrote while he was in prison. He was fruitful in prison. Come on. Why? Because he wasn't just obedient to God. Yes, God, I will go. I know this is what God wants me to do. I've had people come up to me and say, I know God wants me to marry them. But, and I'll do it. I really don't want to. Like, that isn't God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it, Charlie. If you're not willing, if you don't want to, don't do it. Willing and obedient. God's looking at the willingness. I want to get up. I want to go to work. I want to serve. I want to help people. I want to. Now, the world is the opposite. That doesn't come easy for the natural man. You have to stir that up on the inside. And if Jesus is the Lord of your life, if you're spiritually alive, then you got something to stir up on the inside. I said, you got something to stir up on the inside. And you could stir up a willingness. You could stir up a want to. I want to get up. I want to live. I want to do this. I want to help people. We don't want to do things griping and complaining and murmuring. But I did it. I did it. Well, if you want a full reward, you can't just do it. If you want a full reward from the Lord, you can't just do it. Just do it. No, do it willingly. Do it willingly. Stir up the want to. You got to stir up the want to. And you can make yourself want to do just about anything. I said, you can stir yourself to want to. Yes, I want to clean the glass. I want to. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, we're going to have to stop there. My wife just laughed. She liked the glass cleaning part. I think I got a job this afternoon. I just hired myself. I want to, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. You get up here, you commit yourself to things. Because you got to be a doer of the word, you know. Praise God. I want to, man, I want to put a smile on your face. Praise the Lord. I want to help. I want to be a blessing. As long as it doesn't contradict the word, doesn't contradict God's will for our life, I want to do it. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet with me this morning. Glory be to God. Some other things we didn't even get into, but I believe we got into what we needed to get into. Do you all get some understanding this morning? Get some help this morning? Let's stir ourselves up with these things. And let's go further than we've ever gone before. Let's grow in honor. Be honorable employees. And again, if you're an employer, whatever you're doing in life, obviously these principles do apply. You are serving the Lord. There really is no retiring for a saint. There really is no retiring. You just refire and you transition and you're doing something else, but you're serving the Lord. Nobody ever retires from serving the Lord. We serve Him from now until eternity. Through eternity, we serve Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's thank Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for giving us understanding. Lord, we want to be fully pleasing to you in all things. We thank you for helping us to have the right attitude, the right heart, keep our motives right, to cause our hearts to be in line with your heart, your spirit, your word. That's our job. If we got anything today, that's what we needed to get today. That our one job is to be right in our hearts before you, to keep our motives right, our attitude right. And we thank you for helping us. Thank you, the Holy Spirit. He is in us. That which is right is living in us. Righteousness is in us. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The right way of thinking, the right way of doing things, the right way of living is living in our very being. It's a part of us. It's a part of our spirit. Now that Jesus is the Lord of our life, and now, Lord, we stir that up. We stir that up. We stir up that righteousness. We stir up that want to act right, live right, do right, and be free of all oppression. We thank you we don't have to be oppressed by anything in this world, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Let's stir up some thanksgiving and praise right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. 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 Ha, ha, ha. Woo, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good week. Say it with me. Say, it's going to be a good week. I'm going to prosper. Even as my soul, even as my inner man prospers, I'm going to prosper in all things and be in health. Be strong, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Woo! Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Oh, we thank you for the freedom. Thank you for the joy, Lord. Amen. You got something, darling?
Yeah, yeah. Two things. First, like the heel of the, you know, the foot. It just seems someone's got some pain or some situation going on. I don't know if it's like in the rotation going on in the back of the, is that you? What's going on with you?
Spurs and the bottom of my right foot.
Okay, yeah, see, it was the right foot. Uh-huh. Just the back of your foot there? Okay, yeah. And here's another one. I don't know if someone might find this embarrassing. I mean, please don't. We all have nostrils, right? Otherwise, we but it just, and what came to me, it's in one of the nostrils, almost seems like the left, but something's going, like there's a little growth or a something, I don't know, something with the nostrils. Blockage, some kind of growth or of that. Is that anybody situation going on?
So it sounds like it's more than just congestion.
Yeah, it's not just congestion. It's just you've got some concern, something going on.
Let the Lord annihilate that. Praise God. Two people here. Praise you, Lord.
Well, hey there. Are you Margie? I remember you, Margie. What is going on with you? So you have a broken nose? Okay. 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 So you were going to get it fixed eventually? It's a lot of work. Okay. Right. Wow. Okay. Well, don't you just believe God can just fix that, can he? And just right here on the nostril. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. I mean, is that then? It's kind of an odd word of knowledge, so to say. And look, you haven't been here, and here you are this morning. God got you here.
Thank
for
you,
that.
Jesus. I got a friend that came up from Radcliffe to be, you know, come here with me today. So it's a blessing. I might not have came had he not come with me.
Wow. Well, we're just going to stand and believe for God's creative miracle working power in
yes,
that.
Yes, right now.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you got her here, God. She heard you and she knew. And God, she put it aside and she followed you. And you are a rewarder, Lord, of those who diligently seek you. So we thank you, Father, for the power of God being ministered Margie right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we believe you do this work in her nose. You make it right. We thank you. You are the miracle worker, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your miracle working power released into her body. Into that nose right now, this very hour. Ha! In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. We believe you, Lord. Mm-hmm. You set us up, didn't you? Amen. Amen. So did you have problems breathing through it before? And it's the left nostril. So if you'd look, I mean, it's not noticeable, but when I'm standing here, of course, very close, I see. And that's what it was, guys. I mean, didn't you hear that? You know, I kind of was concerned, like, oh, what if I say the left and it's the right? You know, just dealing with that. But I'm telling you, you heard me even said, I really, it seemed as though it was the left. And if you'd look at her very close, it's a collapsed valve, she said, in her nostril. And we believe, God, that he is doing a creative miracle to fix that.
Absolutely.
Isn't God amazing?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We stand amazed. Amen. Yes, absolutely. You're welcome. And you, I mean, think about it. If you didn't come today, what people miss out on, guys. Amen. I look forward to hearing this miracle. Amen. Hallelujah. We love you, Margie. So glad you came. I bet you are too. Woo! Glory. Amen, amen, amen. What was you, Dylan? You got a nostril deal too? What's going on? And there's a blockage in his left nostril.
As you were saying that, it started to clear up.
Amen.
As I was standing over there.
So it's a blockage that it's not just congestion. How long has it been going on? A
couple months.
Did he say it just started clearing up?
And he said it already started clearing up.
Thank
amen.
You, Jesus.
So go back to your seat and it just fully clears up. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Glory to God.
Happening.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And now for these heels. So that was heel spurs, right? Hallelujah. To live for you and to trust you and to surrender to you, Lord. Mm. So we surrender. And we thank you, Father, for your healing power going down. And may those spurs go. Name of Jesus, we say so. Be made right. Amen. 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 Stay here for a minute. And what was you? pain in your heel. Yep. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, the power of God. Hallelujah. Making that right. Glory to God. Amen. Pain-free, that's me. Pain-free, that's me. Amen, amen, amen. So I want an update even right now. So do they hurt?
2 minutes ago.
So you already see a difference.
Yeah. I was actually saying to Sean, I was like, my foot's actually starting to bother me again, and now it doesn't hurt that bad anymore.
Love it. Amen. And it's just going to keep getting better and better. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us know. We want to hear these testimonies. Amen. Sarah, what's going on with you? Do you feel a difference yet? You feel a difference. And it's just going to keep going and going. Amen. Pain-free. That's me. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus is good.
He shows himself strong. Amen. Well, how's that supposed to happen? We're just supposed to pray and wish. Not really actually see something like this happen. No, it happens. And he shows himself strong on our behalf. And that's what he's doing right here in the cabin this morning. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm blessed. I'm too blessed to be cursed. The devil is under my feet. No weapon formed against me will prosper. The Lord is for me. Nothing can stand against me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Enjoy your day. Walk in the victory that Christ secured for you. Amen. God bless you. Love you. We got people that can pray for you if you need any prayer down here at the front.